Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Aaron Shafawalif, my colleague at MRM. Good to have you with me.
Thank you.
And today we want to discuss an event that you were a participant in, and that was a debate with a Latter-day Saint. It was held on March 6th at Utah Valley University. And there was quite a bit of people. They had to put out a lot more chairs.
Maybe than what 300. They had set
up. Yeah, I would say there was a good turnout. You were debating Kwaku L, and Kwaku is spelled K-W-A-K-U. His last name is E-L. He's kind of unique, wouldn't you say, in the whole grand picture of Mormonism. He's a young man. He's pretty articulate. He knows how to handle himself, but tell me why you felt that this would have been a positive thing to do.
So we've done a prior debate, and that was more moderately toned, if you will. And some time has passed, and Kwaku has continued to oppose the gospel, oppose the biblical gospel of grace, and he is a YouTube influencer. So I would argue that he has more front and center influence on BYU students, for example, or those his age in his community, than the Mormon apologists that you and I might think of and interact with in terms of literature. He is a social influencer. He is also a part of projects where he is paid by Mormon apologetics groups to do YouTube videos. And so I've seen people, even in my own church, ex-Mormon Christians, who used to look up to him, who used to be influenced by him, follow his videos. And so it would be, just at a pastoral level, a matter of encouragement to have someone take him on. And another thing that kind of just tipped the scales for me in terms of the tone that I decided, or the aggression that I decided to use in this debate, was two things. One is he came down to Manti, and he went to the streets where all these wonderful Christians who, out of evangelical fervor and sweet, motivating grace to evangelize Mormons, he went down there, and he was a part of a small group of guys that held up very condescending, mocking, contemptuous signs like this was all a big joke. And it looked like he was going down there for a kind of YouTube stunt. And he produced a video out of that that was just really snide and mocking toward Christians, contemptuous. It's pretty nasty toward Christians.
So basically what he's doing is everything that we as individuals and MRM as a ministry try to encourage Christians not to do from our side of the fence, trying to address the Latter-day Saint.
Yeah, we're trying to promote the gospel. And we're trying not to mock the people, and we are trying to have constructive conversations that are substantive, and we're not doing this for a show, and we're not doing this to ridicule the common Mormon person. So the other thing was that he posted a video on YouTube mocking the Christian motto, "Is Jesus Enough?" And he mocked the evangelical doctrine of grace, arguing that it basically enables people to go out and be unrepentant sinners without any consequence. So I thought, you know, if he's willing to go after this motto, "Is Jesus Enough?", why don't we turn that into a debate? And why don't we figure out some subtopics? And why don't we make them applicable to the motto? And I told him up front, going into the debate, I am going to be more aggressive in this debate. I'm going to punch hard. I'm not going to be sweet or nice in this debate. And I wanted him to know that beforehand because I did not want him to be surprised by that. I was functioning in my own mind as a believer who was fighting in the corner, as it were, of evangelical Christians back against his contempt for the gospel, his public mockery of the gospel, and his condescension toward evangelical Christian believers. And so I prayed that I would not be nice. I prayed that I would be bold and unapologetic in the sense of being confident and straightforward. I still wanted to maintain a professional sense of courtesy and respect in the interaction, but I wanted to be hard-hitting.
And I think you accomplished that. I was there, and I remember you telling me, because we had to speak together at a church north of Salt Lake City, and as we were driving up there, you were explaining to me what your game plan was, your strategy for the debate, and we had a real good discussion on this. I can understand what you were trying to accomplish, and I fully agree with it. And I wouldn't say that you misbehaved at all. I mean, you're a passionate guy to begin with, and I think sometimes people might misunderstand your passion. Once they get to know you, certainly it makes complete sense. But I didn't think that you were mean at all. I thought that you were bold. I thought you were firm. And sometimes I think that word is lost when it comes to why we do what we do. We want to be firm, but compassionate is at the same time. But now in a debate format, that's a little bit different. It's been a long time since I was in a formal debate, and I've explained to you why I shy away from a lot of those, because many times you're talking with people in the LDS church who have no authority whatsoever. And I noticed this as the debate went on with Kwaku. He was making some comments that no Latter-day Saint would feel obligated to agree with him on those positions, because let's be quite honest, folks, in the grand scheme of things of Mormonism, he's a nobody. He has no authority to speak for the church. And so it's merely just his opinion, which is always, I found, to be the problem when you're discussing matters in a formal setting like that.
I do appreciate the fact that he seems, on the whole, with exceptions here, to try to represent traditional mainstream Mormonism. So he doesn't seem to be like a Robert Millett or Stephen Robinson or Blake Osler, who live on the very edges of Mormonism, of its theology. And so he doesn't seem to try on some core issues to hedge. He tries instead to use his wit and his charisma to double down on the some of the core theology of Mormonism. But there are huge exceptions to that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Aaron, because you explained that one of the reasons why you wanted to engage Kwaku in this debate was because of his apparent dislike or contempt for the idea, is Jesus enough? But yet, in the debate, there were times when he seemed to try and argue for that very premise.
So he in the video, for example, on YouTube, in the original video, he ends up affirming that he thinks there's a sense in which he can say Jesus is enough. He just doesn't like what we mean by it. And he thinks it's a thin motto that we're abusing. So he'll try to own it in the end, but he'll pervert it. What he says in the debate is Jesus is enough to save us from those ugly Protestant beliefs. That's the way he construed it.
Yeah, he started off with a lot of ad hominem. In fact, I was noticing
from the first 10 seconds.
Yes, from the first 10 seconds. And it was amazing, all the logical fallacies that I was noticing him using in order to try and make his point. And that's why I ask you about this phrase, is Jesus enough? Because it almost sounds like there was a lot of equivocation going on. One minute that phrase is okay, the next minute it doesn't seem like it was okay. And it probably was confusing to some that were listening, and naturally in a debate, it's very easy when you have things going back and forth in a rapid-fire moment, I should say, to maybe miss some of the things. And I was trying very hard to catch everything that was being said so it all made complete sense.
There is so much to that debate. I think it'll require hours of debriefing if people really want to benefit from the content there are reasons why I asked what I asked, but I don't think that the common person would understand why I used the wording that I did, because it's so particular to the context of communicating the gospel to Mormons.
Now, when we say, is Jesus enough, or when we say Jesus is enough, explain before we go off air today what that means to us.
In the debate, I took the position that Jesus is our proxy. We receive him by empty-handed faith, and he has accomplished celestial law on our behalf, and he's given us a backstage pass into the celestial kingdom to be with Christ, seated with Christ forever. That Jesus is enough to establish a kingdom that will not be shaken, that will not be uprooted, a church that will not be prevailed against. There's no second growing season required, as it were. He is the final head of the, if you want to call it a dispensation, he's the one who rooted the kingdom in a final, definitive way. And then lastly, our satisfaction in Christ is enough such that we're not worried about being married in the afterlife. We know that our being with Christ, knowing Christ, being alongside his people, knowing Christ, is more than enough. We don't need to carry over all the earthly marital institutions to have a happy and joyful, full, eternal life.
Yeah, I think we should explain some things to some of our listeners. For you used a phrase, celestial law. Now, in Mormonism, each level of kingdom, the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial kingdom, has its own set of laws, and whatever law an individual lives during this mortality, this mortal probation, as they call it, will determine where they end up in the next life. Now, when you use the word celestial kingdom, we're not talking about a place like in Mormonism where we get our own world.
It's an analogy.
We become gods and we start to procreate throughout eternity, and our offspring will then worship us as God of this world, as we worship or are supposed to worship, as Mormons are supposed to worship Elohim as their God who is over all this world. So definitely there are some differences in the terminology. That's always important if you're going to fully understand where a Latter-day Saint is coming from. And I hope that the Mormons that were there, and I would imagine they probably did understand clearly your position, because you came out of the gate making it very obvious that there was a strong disagreement between what we believe as New Testament Christians and what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes. Now, this is online?
Yes, this is online. If you just search on YouTube for Kweku and Aaron debate, you'll find it.
Okay, now there were two, though. You did another one earlier.
Yes, so this one will be published in 2020.
Okay, so look for the 2020 debate between Kweku and Aaron Schaffewalef. And in tomorrow's show, we're going to talk some more about what took place in this debate that was held on March 6, 2020 at Utah Valley University.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.